Hello, this is Jay Gilbert, mailbox 3033. And here is an article from the August 2022 issue of Cincinnati Magazine. It's an article written by me, and it's about my years of volunteering for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I am proud to read it to you. It's called Why Jay Can't Read. The subtitle is Cincinnati Heard Me Reading for Years. Now My Voice Has Been Silenced. It's Monday morning, and today I am Patty Andrews. I am the last living member of the Andrews Sisters, the Beatles of the 1940s, or the BTS of the 1940s, for those of you who hate everything boomer. When we dominated American popular music during World War II, my sisters and I did shows for thousands of soldiers everywhere we could safely go, and we also visited them in hospitals. It's those heartrending hospital visits I'm talking about on this Monday morning, because today is Memorial Day, and I'm asking you to honor these remaining heroes while there's still time. I'm proud to be Patty Andrews for a few minutes, but there are other Mondays when I can't stand being certain people. It doesn't matter. I proceed anyway. I have been movie stars, doctors, plumbers, senators. Maybe I've even been you. Was it you who complained about a neglected playground in Cheviot? Did you thank the stranger who helped change a tire in Oakley? Maybe you were the beyond stupid idiot who made no sense in your rambling screed supporting or condemning guns. I have passionately expressed garbled nonsense on all sides of every issue, sounding like I meant every word. Who am I really? I'm a volunteer at the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, CABVI. And every Monday morning, I call a special phone number, punch a few buttons, and recite that day's Cincinnati Inquirer opinion page out loud. Every tight-assed staff editorial, syndicated columnist, and impassioned letter to the editor. I speak as each writer would, ignoring how I personally feel about the opinions they, you, express. This can be difficult, but sometimes, like when I get to be Patty Andrews, it's an honor. Every day, an army of us recite newspapers, magazines, and more, helping vision-impaired Cincinnatians stay informed and entertained. We read into a vast voicemail system. It includes ads, TV and movie schedules, comics, etc. Cincinnati was one of the first cities to launch personalized talking print, PTP, in 1995. Today, the internet lets CABVI offer many additional reading services on several convenient platforms. My own volunteering started before PTP or even the World Wide Web in the Stone Age of 1989. The process then was like doing laundry with a washboard. On my reading days, I would drive downtown to CABVI's radio studio in the basement of the Masonic Temple next to the Taft Theater, where helpers had already scissored up copies of the morning paper into dozens of individual clips. Pairs or trios of readers then agreed who would read what. Okay, I'll do this one, and then you do that one. No, wait, you got to read Garfield last week. It's my turn. The radio station, which is now at CABVI's headquarters on Gilbert Avenue, airs readings day and night, and much more efficiently, along with PTP on the phone and an array of website podcasts. And then there's the traditional way of doing this service that never gets old. Regular visits to people's homes to read them their bills, medical and insurance correspondence, whatever. These in-person volunteers deserve medals. Sadly, things have changed for me and my job. I'm embarrassed to report that the story you've just read is entirely in the past tense, because I've been laid off. That's right, I am an unpaid volunteer who was fired. The Gannett Company, owner of the Inquirer, USA Today, and hundreds of other papers, decreed in June that all local opinion pages would henceforth appear just a few days each week, and Mondays, my day, got the axe. I now have no page to turn to, nothing to read, nobody to be. All things change, but nothing in media has changed more sadly than newspapers. The Cincinnati Post died in 2007, and the Inquirer seems to be inching towards hospice. Back on Memorial Day 1999, when I was Patty Andrews, That day's Inquirer had 64 large pages, two of them filled with editorials, columnists, and letters. This year's Memorial Day Inquirer had 24 pages, all of them physically smaller, with larger margins and text. No editorials, letters, or columnists. Opinion pages now consist of mostly unpaid local contributors and letters, except on Sundays when a few syndicated writers also appear. I once wrote to a national columnist I often voiced, Leonard Pitts, who still syndicates from the Miami Herald. I told him of my Cincinnati PTP work and that my Mondays often included his columns. I wanted Pitts to know that out of all the material I read week in and week out, his writing was invariably the easiest to speak. He simply put words together in ways that made saying them out loud feel natural and comfortable, something I appreciated as a guy whose main career is in radio. He wrote back with thanks and noted that his early career included writing for radio, specifically Casey Kasem's American Top 40. I guess my inner ear had sensed something. When you do this reading job for more than 1,600 Mondays, you repeat certain rituals. Holidays, for instance. A 1968 law moved several federal holidays to the Monday nearest their actual date. So I have had to slog through countless Inquirer blatherings about President's Day, Labor Day, Martin Luther King Day, etc. Hard date holidays like Christmas sometimes land on Monday, so I have done them all. The Patty Andrews Memorial Day article from 1999 sticks in my memory because it was truly moving, and not just the usual holiday treacle. You can access that article at this web address, tinyurl.com/YCKS5YFP. That's tinyurl.com/YCKS5YFP. The letters to the editor section pretty much stayed the same during the years I read them. Opinions jumped all over the place, and unfortunately, so did the ability to express a coherent thought. Some letters were well-written and persuasive, even shaking a few of my own certainties. Other times, I silently looked through a letter twice and sighed, "What the hell is this person saying? Are these sentences even sentences?" And then I did what I could. My sympathies go out to every editor who's had to sift through that mountain of crap. I should confess, by the way, that I occasionally wrote my own letters to the paper, and I tried to time my submissions so I might get published on a Monday. It would have made me sound so very cool. Here's the next letter, and it's from, well, how about that? It's from me. It never worked. There was one small, sad way letters to the editor did change. Going back to at least the 1940s, each published letter in the Inquirer used to include the writer's home address. Not a huge community signifier, but not an insignificant one either. Letters to the New York Times of the same era didn't do that, I checked. However, since June 8, 1992, Inquirer letters have only shown a writer's neighborhood. The change was before the advent of Twitter mobs, but we can still guess why it happened. I liked this reading gig. When I started back in 1989 and I was asked if I preferred a part of the paper to read, I chose the op-ed page because it had more expressive writing than other sections. It lined up well with what I already did professionally, and I never got tired of doing it. Nobody at PTP is sure how many volunteers from the 1995 launch are still reading their original assignment, so I'll claim that I am the last one with no evidence. I'll soon have a new assignment, with no reduction in pay guaranteed. I'm glad to do whatever they need next. In time, I'll grow to love it, I'm sure. But as they say, you never forget your first. In case you're wondering, CABVI's phone and podcast recordings regularly include articles from Cincinnati Magazine. That reading job is normally done by other volunteers, but I've indulgently gotten permission to voice this one article when it's published. Of course, you don't have to go listen to it because you have already read these words. Because you can. If you want to help those who can't, please call the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired at 513-221-8558. They'll be happy to hear your voice.